you heard Stephon Tuitt, or heard the report of Stephon Tuitt, saying he will not take a knee for the anthem. We had Derek Shelton on last week, Ron, and he said he didn't anticipate any of his players taking a knee, but that changed, I think, between the time we spoke with him and the time that he spoke with Jerod Dyson before the opener on Friday, because he said he was aware that Dyson was going to do that, and he was very supportive of that. In fact, when Dyson did it alone, Shelton moved down a few spots in the line of Pirates coaches and players and put his hand on Dyson's shoulder in support. And after the anthem, they had a hug, and there was a lot of reaction to it. I sensed largely positive reaction to what happened there.
Yeah, you know, I wrote about that a little bit in Saturday's paper. I wrote live off the game. I thought it was a great move by Shelton to show his support for one of his players. And, you know, we've seen other managers, Gabe Kapler, for instance, kneeling with his players before the anthem in San Francisco. I definitely think, there's still some people that are offended by that. There's no question. But I think for the most part, Bob, it's treated a lot differently now than it did way back when Colin Kaepernick did it. And I thought it was great what Shelton did. That was just my opinion of it. You?
Yeah, I think as a manager, you have a lot of players on your team. You stand behind them for what they believe. I think Major League Baseball did this the right way in that they had a special ceremony before the national anthem and then the national anthem. I saw what Stephon Tuitt put out there, and no one should have a problem with that either. Some people do. They shouldn't. It's a choice that you have to make, Joe.
Yeah, that was what I was saying way back with Colin Kaepernick, that song would inspire different reactions from everybody, and in a democratic society, as long as you do it peacefully, you should be able to have any reaction you want, right? I think so, and I think Derek Shelton showed a lot of support there and did it in the right way. And I think Dyson really appreciated that. Bob, I think you're getting a phone call right now amidst the wind chimes. Do you want to answer that?
No, it's not mine. It's my neighbor. You can hear all the way across to my neighbor's porch. I didn't realize it was that long. So he answered the phone.
It could be Richie Walsh.
Could be, right, Bob?
Joe, that was
could be, yes, but
man,
he has a different number than that.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Now, I was under the impression, Ron, that Bob lived in, not in isolation, but didn't have to worry about neighbors, for God's sakes, in a gated community. How are you hearing your neighbor's phone?
It's because these sensitive microphones. You can pick things up for a long time. That's why you hear the chimes. That's why you hear the birds. That's why you hear anything that goes on. But I've come to the conclusion that I'm not going to just sit down in my basement. I want to come outside, enjoy the fresh air, even though it's a little humid today. And I think it's all part of the therapeutic response that we need during these stressful times, Joe.
Bob, how was the eggs and sausage and stuff this morning? Was it good?
Not yet out. My wife told me she had to go and has had an appointment, but then she's coming back and she said she'd take care of him. She always does. She's the best. So
you're
sure
going to have breakfast and lunch. It's a little late for your breakfast, isn't it?
It is, but I can virtually feed you if you want to, Ron.
Of course, you normally only get up at noon anyway, so.
Breaking news here, well, gentlemen.
Okay.
And it's important. Field Yates covers sports, mostly football, I think for The Athletic. NHL announces that of the 4,256 COVID tests administered to players from July 18th to 25th, zero positive tests. Which is great news, as obviously, as they head into the bubble, Bob.
Yeah, and again, even though I thought the NHL should have put those guys in a bubble at training camp, it falls on the individual person to make sure that you're doing the right things. And I think that largely is what should happen overall in all walks of life here in this country, that people need to take cautious measures to make sure that they are not only protecting themselves but others. And I think the NHL has done that well. And once again, if you look at the large percentage of tests, they are negative. Unfortunately, when you have a team of 30 people and somebody gets it, like what we've seen in the Marlins, it could spread pretty quickly. That's what they have to watch. And I think the NHL has done a pretty good job of maintaining You know, everybody being healthy, their players believe in it, and now they're in a bubble city. It should just continue to be this way. And if you do have a test, you know what to do. You quarantine a person, move forward with testing others, and you keep the thing running. So can it explode? Absolutely, Ron. But at the same time, I think this is the best chance that you have as a sports league to get your entire season in by doing it the way they're doing it.
Well, they've done great. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they were fearful that these 2 weeks when they were at training camp and not in a bubble, they were going to have a tough time. And they felt once they get to the bubble, they're going to be okay. But we see how quickly it can turn, though. You know, was it last Thursday or Friday, baseball announced its latest testing, like 6 positives out of 10,000. And then all of a sudden, look what has happened. So it's great for hockey right now. Still a long way to go, but I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, we've always ridiculed Gary Bettman as kind of the dumb commissioner, if you will, out of all of them. And I think he's looking certainly a lot better than Manfred is at this point. Joe?
Yeah, people in this town were actually ripping Bettman earlier because they wanted him to be more decisive and aggressive. And it was my point from the start with him that maybe he's waiting to see how everyone else goes about it, how that's received, how it works, etc. Or maybe they're just taking as much time as they possibly have to put together the best plan, and they might have done that, although the NBA plan is looking pretty good right now too. But back to the Pirates.
Let me interrupt. As long as you keep your guys out of the strip club, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the personal responsibility that comes into this. You can't do that, and you have to understand that. And if you don't, you're probably an idiot, and you're going to cost people tests.
Right. And if that's your biggest problem right now, look at Major League Baseball. I mean, if you're, and they're rightfully worried about one guy escaping the bubble in the NBA. But if that's the big problem, man, I'd love to be them right now compared to baseball,
sure,
which is about to have an emergency meeting. So far, so good for the NHL. Pirates over the weekend. I'm going to ask you both this question. Were you generally encouraged or discouraged for the rest of the season by what you saw the Pirates do in St. Louis?
Bob, you want to go first? Okay, I'll go first.
I'll go first.
I was discouraged with the lineup, which I thought would be better, though they did hit a little bit yesterday. Not so overwhelmed by the starting pitching. I thought Musgrove was okay, Trevor Williams less. Obviously, yesterday, Mitch Keller, a big step for him. And I was really encouraged with what those guys did out of the bullpen yesterday, Bob. They didn't just get outs. They dominated, and I thought that was something to be encouraged about. But overall, I was probably more discouraged over what I'm going to see for the long haul than I was encouraged. You?
Yes, just because the bullpen, even though yesterday notwithstanding, the bullpen, you know, with the guys they are planning to employ in the, you know, late stages of games, did not do a very good job. And those are the same guys that you've seen in the past, from Rich Rodriguez to giving up home runs, Kyle Crick up and down, Keller's not even there, Stanton, Clay Holmes, who did a decent job, although he gave up a big hit in that game. But I like what I saw from Brubaker. I like what I saw from Birdie. Those are guys that they have high hopes for. And hopefully this season will be more about watching young guys develop. Even with expanded playoffs, I don't think the Pirates have a legit chance of getting into it, even though half the teams will make it. But I think I want to see guys develop. I want to see Cole Tucker take a big stand. I want to see Tucker get more playing time because he is a prospect. Ke'Bryan Hayes has been in this organization a long time. Will Craig has been in this organization a long time. They're not getting younger. At some point, you need to see them play. So that's my focus on this team this year, I think, moving forward. But, overall, I think they're going to win games, not enough to qualify. But, Joe, I think there are a lot of games. There's 60. I expect 25 to 29 games won, similar to what we saw. 2 bad games, 1 good game, Joe.
I'm encouraged, very strangely to say. And that's speaking in the context of picking them to win only 25 games. But what I saw yesterday from the back end of the bullpen, even knowing how volatile that can be, I think you look at stuff, oh my God, for Birdie to make those 3 hitters, Goldschmidt, DeJong, and Carpenter, look that silly was eye-opening, to say the least. I love what I saw from Feliz, although we've seen that he can strike out major league pitchers. There's no doubt about that. And Brubaker, all three of those guys. And weirdly, over the weekend, not one Pirate reliever had multiple appearances. So that was the first appearance for all those guys. Let's hope that's the group moving forward at the back end, I would say.
I was very, very
encouraged, especially Birdie was just – I looked at that, Ron, and I said, those are three really good hitters.
Yeah, and I thought Brubaker really was really good for his major league debut. And I brought back memories of a conversation I had with Ray Searidge before last season. You remember Ray, Joe? Do you remember who he was? It's hard to remember him now, isn't it? But I spoke to him before opening day last year, and we were talking about different guys, and he said, watch out for Brubaker. He said, I really like this kid. And then he got hurt, and we never really got to see him last year. I thought he was outstanding yesterday, Bob.
Yeah, he really was. And, you know, the injury set him back quite a bit, but that was a name that they had counted on going into last season. So many guys came up with arm injuries, and that's one of the problems of being a pitcher in baseball. You're going to go through those sorts of things, and the Pirates have had their injuries, certainly with Tyone and Archer. But young pitchers taking an opportunity and running with it. The Pirates haven't seen many of those kinds of scenarios, Joe. They need guys to come up, to surprise you, earn a spot, much like what Brian Reynolds did. I don't think anyone thought, and maybe not even them, when they acquired Brian Reynolds, that he was going to be a starting outfielder and maybe in contention for Rookie of the Year. At the time, it took a whole bunch of injuries to even get him in the outfield, but he eventually got there and he ran with the situation. They need more of that, Joe.
Man, he's off to a tough start. But the other thing that encourages me, and again, relatively speaking, the stuff at the back end of the bullpen, particularly Birdie, like that was eye-opening. And also Mitch Keller. When Ron and I did our season preview show on Friday, I felt like he was an X factor in that rotation. And it was weird watching him yesterday because it wasn't like he was blowing anybody away with his stuff. But he just looked way more relaxed and confident and was able to get people out in different ways on a day that he didn't have electric stuff, which he does have. So I was very encouraged by that start, and I thought Musgrove looked pretty good. So I would say encouraged for me. Let's talk a little more about that and a couple of the other things that happened, including the first umpire-manager argument, which Shelty himself was part of. It's Cook and Joe with Bob.